Hello, dear listeners. Welcome once again to This Week in Mormons. Happy to be with you.
Hard-hitting journalism, like Keith Olbermann.
Why do you have to say that? On the week when I lose him, you hurt me so much sometimes.
Wait, where were you? Continue.
I don't know. I was just saying, hello, everybody. Folks, listeners, disciples, thank you for being here. Hard-hitting journalism. The type that brings you bad criticisms of The Mormon Bachelor. We're a very serious production.
Good criticisms. I think our criticisms are very nice.
I feel that they are founded. I don't think we're in any way overly mean, per se. I mean, I don't...
No, we're gracious
You
people.
Can't find anything we've said where we've just said, like, she's ugly or he's stupid. No, we haven't. We have just objectively objectified them.
Dude, that's actually been an entertaining activity to do. And I love how this last one, you're just like, oh, she's hot, so for sure she's winning.
It's true, though, isn't it?
Sadly, yes.
I mean, not just that she's hot. And the sad thing is, of course, the Mormon Bachelor himself listens to us regularly, so maybe we challenge you, sir, when all is said and done.
But can he read? See, that's the thing, is when it's not in audio format, maybe we've...
I know, but right now he clearly knows.
Zing!
We're doing
I'm kidding, Rick.
He knows. So, Rick, you can come on and defend yourself if you want, either now or when all is said and done. We can do a little post rap if you want, but it was just painfully obvious.
Yes, yes, and then he can respond to listener comments
about what we all think. You don't want this chick because she's just not hot, right?
So comments throughout. Like today, there was a great one, right? That was like that second video, the one of Sam. Is everything I hate about being a single Mormon woman.
Well, a 26-year-old. And the sad thing is, 26 isn't even that old at all.
It's not.
I mean,
it's not.
I look at 26 as young. I'm 29. If you are 26, I am on board.
What Jeff is trying to say
assuming you are a woman and not a child in your ways and actions.
I'm not a woman.
You have just been all over the old chick singers from the early 2000s,
I know,
haven't you?
I mean,
before we started, everybody, we were singing Mandy Moore's I Want to Be With You together.
I don't know why I'm not married.
I want to be with you.
Dude, this week I did we did some speed dating. I'm up here in New York.
I'm
and
sorry.
They had, it was an amazingly well done speed. Like stakewide speed dating thing.
Oh, it was like church sanctioned. Okay.
Yeah. 140 or so seats on either side, right? And so 140 guys, 140 girls.
Very impressive.
Which I've never speed. What's the past tense? Speed dudded? Speed
dated?
I've never
sped dated?
I've never speeded. But it was exhausting. You have 3 minutes, and I'm going to be honest, it's some of the longest and some of the shortest 3 minutes of your life.
Oh, come on.
Like, depending,
you of all people depending felt on that the, just fine, though, didn't you?
No, there were a few that, like, around the 2 minute 30 mark, I was just like, well, gosh, you know, I really wish I knew more about the Dominican culture, because I feel like we'd have something to connect with there, but I don't.
I'm sorry, buddy.
And your nails are nice. I just wanted to throw that out there. But then there were some other ones. Like there were some good-looking girls, some decent women with some depth to them that I could find in 3 minutes.
New York is full of classy broads.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. Very exciting. What a life. What a life. Well, so anyway, I've speed dated.
Congratulations.
That's what I'm trying
to
say.
Oh, good for you.
It made me feel like a lesser person and a better person all at the same time.
Yes. I had a with my new roommates and such. Of course everybody, I'm here in DC now. Last week
Jeff has made the move.
Last week I was in Texas. but
you're becoming me. Have you noticed?
I am. You know, it was fun. It was my first time driving cross country. I'm not eager to do it again, but it was fun. But as a side note, yeah, dude, it was brutal. I went up from Austin to Fort Worth for a day. See a good buddy of mine.
Yeah.
Which is great times. And then I left there and decided I was just going to drive that day until I was beat. This is when I was texting you and telling you how proud you would be of me. Remember this?
Yep.
So I drove from...
how did that go? How far did you
For some people, this probably isn't even a big deal. But I drove all the way from Fort Worth to Knoxville, Tennessee. And stayed.
How many hours is that?
It was about,
I judge my driving in hours.
It was about 15 hours, averaging 75 to 80 miles an hour most of the time.
Oh, that's not bad, man. That's a solid day.
So it was pretty long. I kid you not, I am convinced that there was a divine hand keeping me fine, because I felt fine. I mean, it was, you know, tiring. It's a long day. But even as I was driving through Knoxville, finally just trying to find a Motel 6 or something like that, I felt fine. I felt like I could have just gone for hours more if I would have wanted to. But the second I got to my motel room and put some stuff down, I just about just collapsed. I mean, I was gone.
Oh, it's so exhausting.
There was nothing left. But it was fun. I saw the South. I've never been. I mean, it is.
Boom, nailed it. Seen the South.
That was kind of the goal. You can take two ways from the Dallas area. You can take go up to Little Rock and take the 40 across to Knoxville and then come up, or do what I did and take the 20 and go through Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama,
and Georgia. Were you impressed?
I was. So the one thing I was most impressed by, who would have thought, Alabama, I think, wins the awards for nicest rest stops in the country.
Really?
By a landslide. Never before have I felt just such a hospitable place. I felt like I could just build a summer home there. It was wonderful.
Did they have a couch?
They had, it's actually a building you go into. Because I'm used to, I found the East has been a little bit nicer for rest stops in general. Because in the West,
wait, are you for real? Like, every rest stop I know of from Colorado East has buildings that you go into.
Okay, well, maybe that's the thing, because I'm used to I'm a Western guy. I'm used to driving around California, Nevada, Arizona, and Utah, basically most of the time.
Where they just have, like, pee spots where you
basically
stop.
Basically, yeah, where it's just a concrete thing, and don't go there alone at night.
Where the tall grass grows, that's where you go.
Yeah, it was creepy. So, but I was very impressed. You go inside a building, there were women working there, and tourist pamphlets, and the bathrooms were sparkling new and swanky. They even had Dyson air blades to dry my hand. Hands. Plural. It was
both of them.
It's not worth the full discussion, but hey, good job, Alabama, bringing it home. Mississippi, on the other hand, is a terrible place. I don't know what's wrong with that state.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Glad you're in DC.
Anyways, but
wait,
I'm in DC.
Anyway, what was the story?
Oh, I was hanging out with some roommates the other night, and it was like flashes of Provo, where inevitably we were looking at our roommate's iPad, and he brings up the ward roster on LDS.org. And the wards out here are good times. They take pictures and they upload the pictures to the site and all that stuff. And, you know, it was like boys sitting there perusing chicks in the stake. Because you can look
at
the whole stake. Oh, it was thrilling. I couldn't help but laugh to myself, like, really? We're all in our late 20s and we're doing this like we just got off our missions last week and are so eager to jump in the dating pool again.
You got nowhere to go but up, man.
I guess.
Nowhere to go
but either up. Way, good times. I've been enjoying myself. It's bloody cold here, but that's okay.
Yeah, it's like 1 degree here, too. Oh.
But anyway, here I am, beautiful world of our nation's capital.
So anyway,
I'm actually in Virginia, but hey, whatever.
Well, D.C.'s so small.
Which looks just like Orange County. I thought I'd throw that out there. It's like all the same stuff. Nice. Seriously. Just like Panera and Chipotle everywhere.
Yeah, that's America, actually.
Yeah, that is what I found in my cross-country journey. Some minor differences here and there. But
like when Carl's Jr. turns into Hardee's?
Yeah, that. Well, it's only because Carl's bought Hardee's and has slowly changed the logo and branding to look like Carl's Jr., but I don't think they have any intention of renaming them Carl's Jr.'s. I don't know. But yeah. Exactly. I learned that. I always thought many things were very just Western and I'd see stark differences in the East Coast. Nope. Nope. Same bloody place with just no In-N-Out or Del Taco. Other than that, it's the same thing. So, yes.
Tough life.
Like you said, Al, we do have a show.
It's a great show, actually. It will be, I promise.
I hope it's a great show.
With such headlines as Singledom Sex Rocks and The Economist / Sex. We know that sex sells, so that's what we're bringing you.
Yes, and Al is reading the sort of notes we write to each other that we share in real time
privately
while we're doing the show, and to organize basically what stories we're doing in that, and we just kind of write out whatever we know is going to make us think of the story. And it's Singledom Sex Rocks is the first one, but it's actually taken from a New York Times article, which has been doing the rounds in the LDS community.
Dude, it's a heavy read, man.
It really is. It's from earlier in the month, first week of January. but I found this has been going around a lot in the blogosphere. Of course, the article is called Single Female Mormon Alone. And some of you have probably read it already. It's by a woman named Nicole Hardy, and she talks sort of about the plight.
It was in the Modern Love op-ed.
Everyone loves Modern Love.
Who doesn't?
Sounds kind of weird. Modern Love. So Nicole Hardy talks about the pains of being a mid-30s, never-married, single adult. Not even a young single adult anymore. Just a single adult. And, you know, living the LDS lifestyle, being LDS, the struggles associated with that, and associated with never getting some, basically. And how she has felt sort of out of place, which is understandable. Kind of like not really fully an adult, treated like a kid in a way, because she has not attained marriage and what have you.
No, that's, dude, that was one of the, that was a comment that like really resonated for me. How it's her progression or her development, she felt was almost stunted because, you know, the fact that relationships only, well, like her relationships are only allowed to go so far, and you kind of do this, and yes, like if you get married at 20, then the progression is natural and it's perfect, right? But like waiting till you're 31 to 32, like waiting so long, I mean, you have this lack of physical contact, or mentally you're disconnected from it to the point where you're like, no, I've been there, don't want to go back there, and like you're just stunted in your development to a degree. Like yeah, that was a very interesting observation.
I think I've got the paragraph you're talking about. I'll read some of it if I may. Sure. She said, yeah, as I grew older, I had the distinct sense of remaining a child in a woman's body. Virginity brought with it arrested development on the level of a handicapping condition, like the Russian orphans I'd read about, whose lack of physical contact altered their neurobiology and prevented them from forming emotional bonds. Similarly, it felt as if celibacy was stunting my growth. It wasn't just sex I lacked, but relationships with men entirely. Too independent for Mormon men, and too much a virgin for the other set, I felt trapped in adolescence.
And like, as cheesy as that may sound, like a lot of people chop that up, but like there's some genuine truth there.
No, I
like,
think there is completely. It's true.
That frustration.
Because where do you belong? You start getting, I turned 30 this year, and I'm not going to sit here and whine like I'm in this plight of, you know, a 40-year-old who's very frustrated at never being married. Sure. Do I wish I would have been married before 30? Yes. And chances are slim that it's going to happen, you know, within the next 8 months. I mean, you never know, but let's be realistic here.
The observation for me, though, is that the observation that I took out of this was that I forgot completely where I was going with this. Clip this out, Jeff.
No, this is staying in. One of the few times I get to laugh at you on the show. Everyone has laughed at my expense. Well, you know what, sir?
I'll chop it myself. No, wait, what was
you
I
don't know
say?
How. You don't know how to do it. I don't know. you were saying the next thing, because she talks about her stages of rebellion. Was it that, as she calls it?
No.
Stages of rebellion. One of the things I see, well, if it comes to you, let me know.
Okay.
I hope it does. And she goes through many of the reasons why it's hard to get married in the church. And there's certainly an argument to be made if you're 35 and can't seem to meet somebody. Like, is there an argument for just dating outside of the church? So you at least have a relationship that helps you grow in a way, even if it's not the best relationship it could be. Is it better than nothing, you know? And I've met many people who are into their 30s who felt that way. They're like, I'd marry a non-member at this point. I just want to have companionship. Even if it's not eternal. Yes.
So this is what I was going to say, right? Is that most people, like, if you've gone through the kind of the traditional path to raising a family, right? Like, you come home from the mission, get married at 22, go through school with a wife, like, and you go through that kind of culturally stereotypical way of coming to adulthood. You've got to look at like a 30-year-old or a 35-year-old that's not married and just be like, what the freak is your problem? You know, like, what's the deal with you? And you really have no appreciation for the kind of the struggles that one goes through. Like, it's a completely different set, right? And she talks about kind of wandering in her faith and how that disconnect started, and how she, like, it was a conscious choice to kind of start going away from that to seek deeper relationships rather than, you know, deciding to be alone. And, like, you know, that's got to be so hard for most people, I think, to understand or to relate to, because it's a very foreign type of mentality. I mean, they're like, I'm sure you've got it too, where you know, people are like, oh, there's plenty of nice people out there. Why don't you just get married? Why don't you just choose one? Why are you being so picky? It's like, you know, it's not really like, that's not really the crux of it all, right? There's a lot more to it than that, but I don't know. It's a hard situation to relate to unless you've been through it yourself.
I totally agreed. Yeah. You and I can't really empathize with this completely. I mean, I think we both have righteous desires to be married and have families and this and that, but I don't know that either of us, I can't speak for you, but I don't think either of us are at, you know, depressed, feeling alienated from the church status yet.
No, certainly not. Yeah. But I see the arguments develop.
Oh, totally.
Right?
Yeah.
And you're like, ooh, this is, you know, like when I read something like this, I think I'm able to have a little bit more empathy than when, you know, like a friend that has never known his later 20s, even. I mean, even now, yeah, it's not bad, but it's like, you know, there's part of you that's like, well, gosh, it's a little bit frustrating, yeah, that everything didn't work out the way it was supposed to.
But it does get, you know, I'll admit it gets worse reading this whole thing. I'm not going to lie. Part of me was horrified. I was sitting here thinking, like, you know, seriously, it hasn't happened for me yet.
Yeah.
When's this, you know, like, what if this winds up being me? What if I wind up in the same position? How hard is it going to be for me to be faithful to the church and stuff like that? You know, it scares the crap out of me thinking about possibly going on and just never meeting someone. That's like the worst thought in the world. And especially in our church where...
Dude, it totally...
No, it is. And especially because we focus so much on family. And I think there are some things to criticize in her article, certainly. And I think we'll get to that. But I know I'm losing my train of thought as well. Yeah, I don't know what I was going to say.
No, it's a... Well, it is. Like, it's a scary story when you...
Yeah, I remember what I was going to say. No, just that the church doesn't... It feels like the church doesn't entirely know what to do with these members. You know,
there's no backup plan.
I mean,
right? Like,
yeah, more
like they have the singles program, and then once you get out of that, it's like, well, we kind of figured everybody would take care of this.
Yeah, and the problem is, and now it's nice they have mid singles wards, which are nice, but that means anyone, you know, 32 or 31 and up. And so while it's fine because you do tend to find many people of your own age bracket, that also leaves the door wide open for 55-year-old divorcees with all this, you know, it doesn't. And that's not nearly the same as a YSA ward, per se, as far as who's there, clearly. Because,
yeah,
you know, I mean, I don't even know if in a YSA ward if they'd let you have your records there if you were divorced and had kids. I don't think they would, because the kids need to go to a family ward, obviously. So there's a much broader spectrum there, and it can be very frustrating. Some things I felt were interesting about the article, though, is in my mind,
sure,
and this isn't to knock anyone in this situation, so please, if you listen to this and you are in that situation and feel offended by any of this or empathize greatly with the author of this piece, don't think that it's not for lack of trying on our end. But the one thing is that I see a lot of pride in reading this.
I'll never have children.
Well, in a lot of ways. Sure, it's got to be very, very difficult to remain faithful after all this time. But a lot of the reasons that she has for growing away from the church, for doing things, she's justifying stuff. She's essentially arguing that the importance, like she says at the very end, one of the last things she says is that I would feel a man's hands on me before I died. That's a nice thing, but the be-all and end-all of our existence is not to make sure that we even experience every physical sensation that we can experience
in
this life.
Let's be honest though, man. Like, well, the reason why the being alone is a scary thought is for this fact alone. I mean, the fact that, like, you go through this whole mortal world and never know pleasure, right? Like,
yeah,
never,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like that's the crux of it. Like, that's the climax, if you will.
Oh my gosh, you're a terrible human being.
I'm sorry. I had to go. of the whole argument is that there's something to be said for that.
No, there is. But
having somebody on a Friday night to come home to, right?
Yeah, like, no, it's true. It's true. But the only thing I am saying, and like I said, I haven't been there, is that of course in our theology we believe that, you know, there's more to it than this life.
Absolutely.
And even if you don't, sadly, don't have those experiences in the mortal life, you are not prohibited from having them in eternal life. And so
now, there was a comment in one of the I guess reactions to this piece over on the Mormon Times where a guy noted the
Times and Seasons, my friend. Times and Seasons.
Oh, Times.
Mormon Times would never run an article like this. Ever would.
But he noted the parallels between kind of this situation and that of a homosexual, right?
Uh-huh. There certainly are. Like, you mean like active homosexuals? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. Where you just come like, well, like just the homosexual kind of conversation you have to have altogether, right? Where you say, this is who I am, you know, so I'm a 36 year old single woman, right? Like my options are keep going to church and hope for the best, fully knowing that my chances are like very slim of this going away, but like choosing to just remain faithful till you die and never know that side of it's a tough conversation to have, I think. But
no.
like you said, our perspective is such that it's bigger than this world, right? And so where your faith is, honestly, if there's one thing this article did, it was like make me want to go home and read my scriptures and say my prayers vigorously, right? Like keep my watch up and put up the hedges round about just to make sure I'm doing what I need to be doing so that my focus is where it needs to be.
Because the one thing I see in this is when she talks about reasons, you know, like her rebellion, the things she's doing and this and that.
I love her rebellion was to watch a rated R movie.
The next level was going to like a sex shop and this and that. And of course, these things are kind of jokes or what have you. But it is more indicative of where one's focus is on stuff. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be, you know, open, have friends from all walks of life and be, you know, accommodating and blah, blah, blah. I get that. But you see the point, though, that she says the few relationships she had were with non-Mormon men, and those only lasted a few weeks, and blah, blah, blah. And then the other thing is she mentions earlier that she had no interest in having children. And so I guess, well, that is a personal choice, but in a church where the prophets have very openly said it is ill-advised and shame on couples who put off having children, you know, for personal reasons, for their own reasons, what have you, as opposed to the bigger picture, I empathize with a lot of things and I sympathize with a lot of things, but why would you be surprised if you were a woman wanting to get married and have all that stuff in the church, but you openly said you don't want to have kids?
You got to hide that and spring it on a guy on the wedding night.
Yeah, that'll be even better. Cause what guy's going to go for that? If you're saying, I see a disconnect there with how can you want to live the gospel and understand the eternal plan when the eternal plan of the church all comes down to the spirit of Elijah. And that's what it's all about. When we break it down, when we get to the fundamentals of it.
Yes and no. Like again,
no, just
it's one
yes.
of those things.
Just yes.
No, yes and no. Because it's one of those things where the, you know, like, everybody's entitled to their own interpretation of the doctrine, right? And so if she, for some reason, felt like she didn't want to have kids, like, I can think of plenty of guys that would be like, you know, plenty of guys that actually...
Perhaps, yes.
Lead in with that of the whole like maybe we could travel for 20 years.
Well,
and
maybe, but
maybe.
But I do feel like as you read the article, her description of what she feels is Mormon utopia, like what is what she's clearly has aspired to. I feel like that's not possible. You're not going to find that kind of guy in that utopia with the things she's expecting from a relationship.
There is a disconnect there.
But that's
It's. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so obviously, I mean, it kind of goes back to the pride thing you mentioned earlier.
A little bit. I mean,
she had herself figured out and she was looking for the perfect man, or not, maybe not perfect, but she was looking for the person to match that, which, you know, maybe if her focus would have been a little bit different or whatever it is that it might have worked out differently, who knows, but it doesn't make her situation any less, I guess, tough or tragic. Well, because in the end she ended up leaving, like she's left the church, right?
Basically, yeah. I mean, and that's why I feel it's more tragic. This is not a positive story of someone who deals with being
someone
who deals with being single and toughs it out and makes it happen and still finds happiness aside from that. And I get that it's hard, of course, but yeah, like her last line, I would have an IUD instead of children. She writes she mentions the whole thing as a trip to Planned Parenthood, which I feel is a little unnecessary. It's like as if she's trying to provoke the ire of many LDS people, since Planned Parenthood is, you know, like this demonic organization or whatever. She says, I would have an IUD instead of children. I would have intellectual and spiritual freedom. I would write poems and finally live inside my body, and I would feel a man's hands on me before I died. That's all fine, but, you know, I don't know how... I don't think the intellectual and spiritual freedom come from doing things ourselves.
It's certainly not mutually exclusive either, right? But
I mean, could go around about for this for a while, but yeah.
It was an interesting article. It was an article. Well, I don't know about you, Jeff, but like I read it, and it really kind of, I don't want to say that it shook me, but it like moved me.
No,
like,
it rocked me a little bit, totally. And
it's just like, ugh.
And definitely
like a kick in the gut almost.
One of the things I like is we're talking about most of the article itself, but then the Times and Seasons article where the author Julie M. Smith asked people to respond effectively, and some of the responses from people are very, very moving and interesting, and far better than anything I think either of us could say. And so we'll be posting both of those. Obviously, I will link to the New York Times article, but if for whatever reason it doesn't let you read it, because the New York Times can be kind of finicky with if you need to sign in or not to view stuff, so just let us know if that is the case and you want to read it. We can have it in like PDF format or something like that. Okay.
Yeah.
So. That's all I have to say about that.
Tough. Anyway, well, it's like good to know. I mean, Mormons in the New York Times. It's kind of a. We're getting a lot of like the ooh, look at the pandas type of mentality of showcasing, you know, putting the Mormon life in a display and letting people gawk at it a little bit.
Yeah.
Still kind of cool to be mentioned. I mean, it's nice that it's understanding stems from this, right?
It's true.
Eventually.
So, well, please share with us your thoughts, because
in
many
other
of us
news,
yes,
Vogue, and I'm doing my Vogue-ish face right now, has reported on the Book of Mormon musical that
is
our
it coming
South
again?
Park creators. Well, so there's more on it. It's a comedy musical now.
I'm laughing so hard.
I don't know how bad it'll be. Their comment is that they're just so we're having some fun at God's expense. I think he can take it, says Parker. Stone nods in agreement, adding, he sure can dish it out. It may just be like a lot of the South Park stuff is kind of just jabs in our direction rather than like all out attacks. And so I'm hoping that it's more a jab at culture, which if it is, I'm fine with that.
Well, did you read down and
I'm
see what one of the song titles is?
Which one?
Oh no, it's Everybody Sings in the Chorus.
It says they're doing it.
Blank
doing it in
you,
full music.
Blank you, Dios. Which is the Spanish word for God.
Yeah,
so that's fun.
So it may be bad, but
yeah,
they're doing it in full musical theater form.
Yep.
Even with a Fiddler on the Roof throwback of a nightmare sequence, complete with Adolf Hitler, Jeffrey Dahmer, and a Starbucks.
Perfect.
It'll be exciting.
It's all about two missionaries who go to Uganda. The one thing I don't get, I still hate that the name of the musical is the Book of Mormon, because clearly it actually has nothing to do with the Book of Mormon itself. It's about missionaries. It's not like they're getting Nephi out there and making fun of that. So.
They lead out and say, Mormons are so Disney and Rodgers and Hammerstein to begin with, it makes them perfect to break into song. Which I can totally see, you know? It's like if you ever watched the Improv Now stuff where they're, like, sitting in a mall and everybody, like, starts singing and people are like, oh my gosh, what's happening? I can totally see that happening in Utah anytime and it wouldn't be even a joke. Just be like, oh... No, I'm sorry. I'm in a musical production right now.
No,
I'm singing in the rain.
It's totally
Let
true.
Let me do it for you.
I mean, I honestly think The Princess Bride is beloved by Mormons more than any other socio...
For the musical... Wait a minute. There's no music in The Princess Bride.
There's some. Our
what
love
are they
is like a storybook story.
I want to kiss you all over.
Okay, so there's no actual songs. I guess it was a bad example, but it's true. Being LDS is seriously like living in a musical waiting to explode any given moment.
You know what I really want though is I want more. Like I think if we were filling this void with like sequels to Saturday's Warrior and new my turn on Earths, then they wouldn't have to make this. But no, we've really dropped the ball when it comes to
so
like,
we only have
top.
Yes. Sorry, keep going. I was going to say, so yeah, no, we have ourselves to blame, basically. It's our
fault. Yes, that's exactly it. That's see, because they would have looked at him and been like, oh, no, the Mormon musical scene, that's totally saturated. There's not room for any of this. But no. We haven't done anything since 1978. 82, maybe. I don't know.
It's been a while. But look, we have such wonderful songs when they sing God Lives on a Planet called Kolob, and in 1978, God changed his mind about black people. Come on.
The choreography is done by the guy that did Spamalot.
Goody.
That's exciting. Anyway, just so you're in the know, I'm sure it'll be a topic of discussion. Soon.
As it comes up. So clearly the person from Vogue has actually like seen some of it in action or something, because they seem to borderline review some of what they've seen. So yeah, it'll be fun.
I think I should try out to be in it since I'm in New York.
You'll never leave.
Could you see me in a top hat?
Yeah. Like,
hello, my honey. Hello, my darling.
You want to sing stuff from a chorus line? The worst musical ever made?
I can think of worse ones.
I don't know. A chorus line's pretty bad. People love it, but I think it's just terrible.
All right. Anyway, you sound really depressed right now.
I'm so sad about that. But let's perk it right up. Let's perk it up and talk about sex again. It's my turn.
All right. Hey! You've got all the great stories today.
I get to love it up today. Opa. So...
You kind of counter your first story with this one.
Sort of. Well, in a way, actually, that is kind of funny, because the first story, yeah, we just talked about this woman going away. Whereas a study done by researchers at Brigham Young University, and thankfully this is actually from in The Economist. So The Economist cites this. And I like that they don't try to make light, or even mention that BYU is a Mormon school. They just mentioned that it's Brigham Young University. Some PhD people working on stuff, which is nice. Side note. Anyway, they did a study trying to sort of study and figure out and quantify if chastity before marriage actually makes relationships better post-marriage or within marriage. They use some metrics and rubrics and who knows whatever else. But it is pretty interesting, because when it gets down to it, they find that let's see here. If you look at this one chart on the article, that things such as, and this is all between men and women, they surveyed people with like over 300 questions, people from all faiths, walks of life, all that stuff. They weren't just like going around Provo and asking Mormons what they thought or anything like that. But it's good, because you see that they like communication, they feel is better, sexual quality is better. But the two biggest jumps actually are relationship satisfaction and perceived stability. I could easily see stability being one of the big ones, too, because I think there's a lot of trust that comes if both of you have been, you know, respecting one another and waiting one another. I think that really adds to trust in a relationship.
Well, and then they note that, it says that Dr. Busby's method can't distinguish the cause of this. But just saying that, you know, you think about it, like just the act of saying, no, this isn't the most important thing to me. It's more... You know, the relationship is important.
Yeah.
You know, sex can be the capstone at the end of it. You know, like,
but only
like
if
just having that mentality rather than being like, hey, baby, let me jump your bones and get out of here the next day. It changes the conversation a little bit.
Well, it does. And it's even saying the point of even if, you know, you're just, I mean, because it says that a whopping 85% of Americans approve of premarital sex. And so, but it's great to see these findings and see that they do go a long way. You know, it's hard to break it all down, of course. There's a lot of other variables you could throw into this as well.
What other variables would you
Where
throw
was one?
In? Give me your favorite.
I'm looking. Oh, where's the one that talked about causality versus correlation? Oh, here we go. It says, unfortunately, Dr. Busby's method cannot distinguish the cause of...
I just read this.
Blank. You didn't read the whole thing.
Okay.
It could be, as many moralists preach, that the delay is improving. It could, though, be that the sort of people who are happy to delay having sex are also better at relationships. So correlation, in other words.
I feel like I just said that.
I don't think you did.
Oh, wait a minute. I did.
I don't know.
Jeff, do you even listen to me? This is why this relationship.
Sometimes
you word
things in ways that aren't intelligible to people with an education. And so I don't understand you.
I communicate with the masses. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know what it is. Sure.
And you can only communicate with the other elitists?
Excuse me. I have looked at our analytics, and we attract an educated crowd. Okay?
Yeah. Whose post got higher stats on our analytics, Jeff? Was it yours? Or was it
was yours because it was the first one. The sequel never does as well.
Sure.
That's common
Except
movie
for Toy
knowledge.
Story.
The sequel never does better. Except for Toy Story 3 and Lord of the Rings.
Outliers.
And you relentlessly promoted yourself and refused to promote me.
No, I promoted you.
Yeah, but not relentlessly.
No, it's true.
Even though I relentlessly promoted you.
Speaking
my friend,
of analytics.
My friend.
We have now, we're putting a link up to the unofficial LDS Church website's traffic stats, which have some interesting things
they do.
In them. One of the interesting things is the church owns a sweet motherload of
I can't
web
believe
properties.
How many sites we own.
Like, that are all specifically church-related, which is cool. Estimated visitors, though, LDS.org, it estimates 1.5 million. I think these stats are taken directly from, like, Quantcast or Compete, which are both statistics aggregators for things like, for advertisers and stuff, right? That's where they'll go to see how much traffic you get daily. And so LDS.org is at 1.5 million, which if that's true, if the Compete stat is really where this number's coming from, typically what you would do is you triple the number on Compete to get the actual number of visitors, right?
Why don't they just list it as triple what it is then?
Well, because they don't have the metric to say that. Like, they don't know for sure.
Oh. So then how do you know? That's what I'm saying. How do we know it's triple?
Because I do this for a living.
Oh, okay.
So, sure. You could say, I think safely, we could say like 3.5, almost 4 million hits a month for the LDS.org site, which is our biggest property. I'm surprised, though, that Family Search is smaller than that. Because I see Family Search as being a much more trafficked site where people... Like LDS.org, you go there to like find a building.
Yeah.
That
you're well, and
you
Family
go there
Search
to find a talk.
Yeah, and Family Search is appeals to people outside of the church too.
Well, yeah, driving. Family Search is inside and outside the church, and when you go there, I mean, the time on the site has to be significantly greater, right? And sadly, our smallest web property
is Mexico.
Is Mexico,
whatever that means.
Our Mexico site. What? What is this site?
Sometimes we have official pages for countries.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's why the one above that is Argentina, Paraguay, Uruguay.
Oh, yeah, it's the LDS version.
So they have sort of a thing like that, but I like them.
Which means that they have a bunch more, because I know Ukraine and Russia all have their own as well.
Yeah, I saw some when I was in Britain, but obviously more members there. I think it is sad that Mormon.org is number 3, and it's less than 400,000 estimated. You would think that being our visitor portal, per se... would have more, but
yeah. When have you ever gone to Mormon.org? Though?
I don't. The point of Mormon.org is we're trying to get non-members to go there, and
did they ever approve your profile?
I don't know. They're supposed to email me when it's done, but I never got an email. So
monsters.
I have no idea. That was like a month ago. On my to-do list for the week. Is that?
Well, so anyway, some cool stats. The church is doing a fantastic job with their web properties. Like, they're really building a good kind of conglomerate online, which I think still, if you Google church, I think we're number one. No, Wikipedia is number one, then we're number one. So.
Oh, I mean the old SEO thing we talked about.
Good work. Yep. Yeah. They're still rocking, man.
But I'm just amazed how many, we own over 100 different websites. And we have international sites for 65 countries around the world.
What's interesting too, I've had discussions with the church's CTO.
Uh-huh.
And they have some heavy projects that they're working on. Like when they were pushing the Temple Recommend database for temples.
Okay.
Like that was a big deal, right? Like that was a big push that they had to go through. But I remember chatting with a guy and he was like, yeah, you know, we're working on this thing where we'll actually know if your recommend's valid or not. And we're working on this other thing. We're doing these web things. Like the church has a huge push technology-wise.
It's true. No, they really do. Like, look at this. Have you ever even been to institute.lds.org?
I have.
It exists. I had no idea.
There's also LDS CES and, like, a bunch of them that aren't even listed on there, right?
Like, tech.lds.org. It's one of my favorites.
Yep. Yep.
LDS Jobs Institute. JosephSmith.net. I've never been there. This ought to be good.
And then on top of that, you have, like, all the BYU properties, like BYU Broadcasting, and BYU.org, scriptures.lds.org. Anyway.
Useful. Okay, I'm looking
at... Some cool stats. If you like stats, you'll love
it. It is fun. JosephSmith.net appears to come from the old LDS.org and needs an update. Anyway.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's there, but like the mode, like the style of it and stuff is very much the old page. It's not, you know, gigantic banners and what have you.
They also have like their visitor. What is it? Like Historic Nauvoo, maybe?
I don't know. There's a lot of these. There's New Family Search as well. Newsroom. Provident Living.
Oh, that's
nice. I admit Provident Living, okay, this is going to sound stupid, but it's always been kind of lost on me. Like, what the heck that actually means. Provident Living.
Why? Because it's a stupid website?
I don't get it. Like, because they always talk about it. It's Provident Living. Like, is it just recommendation? Because if it's recommendations on how to live my life, isn't that just what I read the ensign for?
Well, no, it's stuff like food storage. I think they have a food
storage. Isn't that what I read the ensign for? I just don't understand the purpose of... I've never understood the Provident Living thing.
It's all the, self-reliance and welfare resources. That's all it is.
So is it really...
I'm pretty sure... It's not very user-friendly because I should be able to find, like, my...
Is it basically just church welfare system online?
It is, yeah. It's all that... It's like the food storage.
Why don't they name it welfare.lds.org? I've never understood Provident Living.
Well, yeah. All right. Anyway.
It's always been so confusing.
It's a good idea because you kind of need a place to put all this stuff, but it's super branded. Like, I think they could make a really good tool that a lot of people used if they branded it less and added more utility. That's just my objective point of view.
Yeah, but we're all about branding ourselves.
Well, but we could do, like, subtle branding, and I think we'd have more utility out of it. Because as it is, no one's going to use it. They're going to be like, I ain't clicking on that drinking water link for the Mormons. That's crazy.
Oh, well. And super mega fun times.
Dude, you're so low energy today.
What? I'm so fun. That's why I'm so fun for everybody.
Just by way of like news announcements, we had a Jamaican missionary got shot.
In Jamaica. Killed in your homeland. Sucks.
Total bummer, man. They're on their way home from a preparation day activity.
Is that what it is out there? Mission, yeah.
In the mission van.
And they
got caught by a stray bullet. And like the other missionaries in the van, nothing happened to them.
And they were actually in the van. I thought they were walking or something. I didn't realize they were driving. Yeah, that stinks.
Tough break.
That's harsh. And Jamaica's harsh. People always rave about, like, I want to go to Jamaica. It is one of the most crime-ridden, dangerous countries in the world, people.
Why do cruise ships go there?
Because the cruise companies, like, own their own private beaches and sequester it all and... basically them off. Yeah, this is very popular as a side note. In Haiti, of all places, one of the poorest countries in the world, the cruise ships, I think Royal Caribbean, owns like a beach resorty area on Haiti, and they have barbed wire fences around the periphery of their property so you really don't experience actual Haiti at all. And they don't let the real Haitians in. You're in your little paradise. It's kind of jacked up.
I mean, that's like when you tour to Missouri, it's the same thing.
I know. I mean, if you're going to have the guts to go to Haiti, pull that cruise ship into Port-au-Prince, and then let everyone see abject poverty so they feel bad about themselves and do something about it when they go home.
Fair enough.
Anyway, don't get me started on discrepancies and disparity between rich and poor. But, I'll do the Jazz Ticks guy, and you can finish off with our best headline ever. So a guy was charged... I love the world today, Al. Why would you send that to me?
Hurry up.
That's so sad. Yeah, whatever. Fine. Anyways, a guy was pulled over. Brandon Michael Wyatt, 20, of West Valley City, was pulled over, and they found all these other documents when they arrested him. Forged documents. He stole some Jazz tickets, a computer, and apparently a lot of random LDS paperwork with names, birthdays, and telephone numbers of a couple and their 6 children. Creepy.
Dude, I love this garage sale modge podge of things he had. It's like he had some Jazz tickets, and some church records. All very.
Well,
exciting.
He had more than that. He had an $800 computer. $800, and another man's driver's license, a woman's social security card. It just goes on and on.
What I'm excited about those, like, what would you steal church records wise? Like, does he just take the ward list?
I don't know.
Is that what he
I'm
stole?
Seeing identity theft here. I mean, because they don't specify whether the multiple credit cards and other things that he
does
took.
The church keep credit card or like not credit card social security information?
I don't think so. No, because they don't care. The church is a global body. It has nothing to do with, you know, our national identity.
So what's the identity that they're stealing that they couldn't?
Well,
get
maybe
out of
that's part of it. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe he got info on. I mean, I'm just this is totally me just surmising.
I bet he was just a confused man and really thought that he had a lot more than he did. He's like, yeah, I broke into the bishop's office and I took these records.
you know who he's working? He's working for Facebook. He is harvesting their data.
Facebook direct ads are coming to you, people.
Now this poor couple and their six children are going to get all sorts of just terrible ads, most of which will be from the Leighton Motel, which is now missing 17 checks, also because of this guy. I like that one. 17 checks belonging to the Leighton Hotel. Like, what do they mean? Like, the Leighton Hotel checkbook? Like, well, he took them?
I love that he like, took them, and he was like, no, this is too many. That's, like, 25. Let me give some of these back. I just need
seven.
10,
I need
15,
17 of these. 17. Beautiful.
I like
it. Anyways, take us out, Al, with our beautiful story about the greatest.
All right, our final, and we'll spare you the actual story, but the headline of the week goes to the Albuquerque Express.
Of course.
With, is Glenn Beck a Mormon New Age guru? And Mormon New Age, of course, all with hyphens.
Is
Glenn Beck a Mormon New Age guru?
He is.
Isn't he?
It's true. He's.
Thank you, Albuquerque Express.
Only.
You've made my week.
Only from Albuquerque. And I can second this, since I did stay the night in New Mexico on my way out. I got to watch Albuquerque media market news and stuff like that. Thank you, Albuquerque. This does not surprise me in the least. You're a spectacular place.
Well.
That's all.
That's it.
Hey, oh. I feel like we've been doing the show forever, probably just because we talked for an hour before we did it.
It's true.
Stop typing to me.
But it's been a good
week. Why do you say these things to me when we're good talking?
Why? I don't know what you're talking about. I'm sending hateful emails to Jeff.
Why?
Saying,
I feel like I've been perfectly pleasant.
I feel like with the breaking story, it made you depressed. Maybe you're more depressed than you know, Jeff. Do you really wish that you were married and want the touch of a woman on the small of your back? And her hand to caress the nape of your neck?
Yes.
I knew it. That's what I knew. I shouldn't have let you lead out with that story. I knew I shouldn't have.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Anyway, have a good week, everyone. Sorry. I apologize for Jeff. And Jeff apologizes for me.
Yeah, well, take care, everybody. Have a great week, okay? You know where to find us.
All right, see you, man.
Bye. And find us on our sites and stuff, and continue the most.
Facebook.com/ThisWeekInMormons. Twitter.com/TheRealTwin. ThisWeekInMormons.com. Comment. Enjoy your freedom to comment on Mobatch Throwdowns.
I like how we're renaming everything however we want. It's Mobatch. We renamed Samantha Sam on our own. We decided to start. So go enjoy, people. We always appreciate you playing ball with us. And,
dude, such a jerk. All right.
What did I do this time? I don't even understand what just happened. I didn't even do anything jerky. I'm so confused. All right. This has been another episode of This Week in Mormons. I think we'll be back next week. I don't understand what's happening right now. All right. We'll see you later. Okay. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Faith pours from your walls. drowning your calls. I've tried to hear, you're not near. Remembering when I saw your face shining my way, pure timing. Now I've fallen in deep, slow, silent sleep. It's killing me. I'm dying. Sunshine in your life.